Now let's turn to God's Word as we find it. We're back into 2 Corinthians again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you have your Bible with you, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6, 2 Corinthians 10, 1 to 6. And this is the Word of God. By the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his word today. We're turning back to 2 Corinthians. We've been in 2 Corinthians looking at the real church since September. We've just one or two messages left in this book as we bring it to a close, hopefully this month in January. But today I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 5, and in particular, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You will remember as we've gone through this letter that there has been a minority of troublemakers in the Corinthian church, those who have refused to accept the apostleship and the authority of Paul, and they have been undermining his ministry. And Paul, throughout most of 2 Corinthians, has been defending his ministry. He's been saying that he is divinely authorized, he's divinely commanded, and the gospel has been entrusted to him. His opponents think that he's quite timid. In verse 1, it says here that Paul is too timid to be an authentic prophet and an apostle from God. But he is going to come and he's going to give them a final last chance for the church to get its act into order. The majority will see that he is speaking the truth and will exclude the minority. So when he comes on his third and final visit, he will come and he will no longer be timid. He will be bold. Weak Paul will be strong Paul. Timid Paul will become bold Paul, and he will not hesitate to discipline those who are not only questioning his authority, but also questioning the authority of the gospel and of Jesus. In verse 10, he says, "For some say his letters," that is Paul's letters, "are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present." So Paul's patience is wearing thin. He's giving them a final ultimatum as he prepares for his third and final visit to them. Now, this is very strong language that Paul is using here because, as we've said before, he knows there is a lot at stake. Whenever you allow a small proportion of people to bring falsehood and heresy and rejecting the true gospel of Jesus into the fellowship, it is immense problems and implications. Jesus spoke about the danger of false teaching in Matthew 16. He says, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Yeast is very small, but it is very powerful. And it can impact a large batch of the bread or the dough. Paul himself uses this analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast. So these false teachers were like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that Jesus spoke of. They did not grasp the grace of Jesus Christ. They were too beholden to the world's power, to rhetoric, to celebrity, to strength, as they saw it in their eyes. No, the gospel of Jesus, as embodied by Paul, is often seen as weak and foolish by the world's standards. It's seen as out of step, as prohibitive rather than freeing. It is seen as emphasizing too much about suffering and the cross and dying. And is this not the problem that we see today as well? Because the church is viewed by the world as weak. The world will not consider that the church holds the truth. No, the places of influence in the world today, the places of power, are government, big business, wealthy magnates, billionaire businessmen and women, and organizations like Apple and Amazon, Microsoft and Facebook. Big tech is the way to go, and it has a strong gospel, says the world, the gospel of success. Why do we keep harping on about a manger and a cross, these symbols of weakness? It's because the power of God, the power of the gospel, is in these weak symbols. But today, the gospel is all about yourself, finding yourself, being proud of yourself, pampering yourself. It is the selfie culture. But the gospel of Jesus says, die to self, that you will find yourself by killing yourself, by losing yourself, by playing down yourself and its feelings and its desires and its wants. Self is sinful and idolatrous. We put self in place of God. We are self-made men and women. And it is all summed up by the current predominant philosophy of expressive individualism. The individual is king. But the good news of Jesus says no. You don't find joy in pampering yourself. You will find joy in giving self away. You will find joy in serving others. You will find joy in obeying the commandments of God. You will find joy in loving your neighbor as yourself. This is the gospel way. And ultimately, Paul was against those in Corinth who were more in hock to the world's way of thinking than in gospel thinking. And so much of it came down to their thought life and to their minds. And so for the rest of the time, I want us to think about our minds and what goes on in our heads, what goes on in our thought life, because this is the key to recognizing the gospel and submitting to it. In many ways, we're in a better place than the Corinthian church. We have the completed canon of Scripture. Obviously, Paul was writing many of the letters that came to form the Bible. But we're a better place. We're a better place than Paul. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the completed canon of Scripture. We know about the significance of the manger and the cross and why Jesus came. All of this, we are much better placed and better equipped to face the dangerous dilutions of faith in the world. But Satan is still alive and well, and he is still waging war against God and against his church. Paul reminds the Corinthians and us of how important our minds are. Thoughts can become strongholds, and although we can reason and debate and argue our case sometimes, ultimately, things will only change when we submit ourselves and invite God into our hearts and God into our minds and say, look, Holy Spirit, help me to think godly thoughts. Help me to think in your way with your perspective. Last week, we were looking at how time changes things, and time does change as we invite the Holy Spirit into us. He changes our thinking, our priorities, the way we see things. Elsewhere, Paul speaks about our minds being dull, and we need the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus to come and illuminate our minds and our hearts. So as the Holy Spirit works upon us, he opens our eyes to the truth of God. My prayer today for us as a church into this year is that with Holy Spirit-saturated eyes, we will see our sin for what it is, and we will see Jesus for the Savior that he is. The gospel may be foolishness in the eyes of the world, but it is still the power of God unto salvation. And so can I encourage us together at the beginning of this new year, what better time to recommit ourselves to God, to recommit ourselves to his word, the Bible, and to say, Lord, I want to take you seriously in 2022. If you haven't been in the practice, the good habit of a daily devotional reading, can I encourage you to get into that good habit, into that good practice, so that every one of us in the church is seeking God's word every day, taking time to pray, recommitting ourselves to God's people in the church in Highkirk, Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, praying for a fresh anointing of God's Spirit on his word, Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, praying for God's Holy Spirit to anoint the worship team as they lead us in worship Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, and committing ourselves and recommitting ourselves to the prayer meetings. Praying individually, yes, but also saying, is there a prayer meeting that I could go to this year? Start to go to a prayer meeting for the corporate prayer. Because I believe if we take that seriously, we will see a difference. We will see a lift. We'll see a hunger and a thirst and a seeking after God maybe we've never experienced before. We are called to live in the world, but not to be of the world. We're called to live as salt and light. And if we spend too much time filling our heads with unhelpful material, we will find that we are discipled not by God, not by the Spirit. We'll be discipled by the world, the world's values, and the world's preoccupations of lust and wealth, celebrity, greed, power. No, we want to be discipled by the great themes of Scripture. And hopefully as we go through 2022, we will reflect on these great themes of covenant. What does it mean to be in covenant with God and covenant with God's people? The great themes of love and justice and sacrifice and righteousness and faithfulness. You don't hear these words in the media, but these are gospel words. These are good words. These are words worth meditating in our hearts and minds through 2022. As I said in verse 5, Paul speaks about taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so can I encourage us to inform our minds, educate our minds in the ways of God, to get ourselves to the table where God's word is being served, to be here so much as is possible with all the Omicron and variants and everything that's going on probably through this year. But to say, I want to be with God's people so far as I can be. And if you can't be, then to get online, to watch it faithfully, to be encouraged. We are called to love one another. And I pray that we will love one another as a church into this year. We need to speak to the strongholds in our hearts and minds that are negative, strongholds of fear. You know, God is sovereign. We've been singing songs today about the sovereignty of God, but bringing our fears and our anxieties to him. Let's keep doing that. Remember, Paul said to Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Scott Hafferman, in his commentary in Corinthians, says, "Today we must fight again for the recognition that a growing faith, not a past decision, is the sign of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit." Are you moving on with the Lord? Are you being discipled in his word or by the world? Are you submitting your thoughts and your priorities and your values to the Holy Spirit? Take every thought captive, says Paul. Now that's not a passive thing. You don't kind of, you know, sometimes with this phrase, let go and let God, and there may come a place for that. But in general, you've got to intentionally train yourself and train your mind to think godly thoughts. It's a positive action. It's not passive. If you are too passive, you will find that the world will disciple you. The world will control your thoughts and how you think. So this year, may we saturate ourselves in the truth of God's word, which is freely available to us. Perhaps choose to read a good Christian book or two to feed your heart, to feed your mind. Get involved in a ministry, engaged on mission. We've often used the four M's of Rick Warren, that we move from membership to maturity to ministry to mission. Membership, maturity, ministry, and mission. Rick Warren says, "Do not judge the health of the church by its seating capacity, but by its serving and sending capacity." After the battering of the pandemic in the past 2 years, it would be good if we arose as a healthier church. Yes, maybe a slimmed down church, but healthier. Again, Scott Huffman says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there is a sober reminder that quality, not quantity, reigns supreme in the ministry of the gospel. So take our thoughts captive, and that involves training. If I was to decide to run in the marathon in Belfast, whenever it is this year, I'm not just going to rock up on the day and say, right, I'm going to try and run this marathon. That would be foolishness. No, you've got to train for weeks and months previous to that. You train. You train your body. You train your breathing. You train your eating habits and so on to get ready for the race. And so it is for the spiritual life. We train ourselves in holy habits. Each day, doing a little to build up our strength, our perseverance, our skill. This is how life works. Anything worth doing involves effort and discipline and intentionality. So let's be intentional this year, the start of 2022. It involves saying yes to Jesus more and more and no to the world's temptations. And there are so many temptations that are out there, but can I highlight one in particular that is becoming an increasing issue? And it's the temptation and the issue of pornography. So often this past year, we've heard the government ruining the state of our world and how so many women especially are the victims of sexual crime. But rarely, if ever, is there any mention of the dangers of pornography and how it is contributing to all that is going on around us and the sexual violence and crime that we're seeing more and more. But sadly, it is not just in the world, it is also in the church. How are we to expect the Holy Spirit to move powerfully amongst us when we in the church are opening our minds to such things? So-called harmless browsing soon becomes addiction and a stronghold. But that stronghold can be broken by a greater power in Jesus. And as we bring every thought captive to him, because there's awfully toxic and poisonous stuff out there, and it's only a click or two away. But once it's in your mind, you cannot unsee it. It poisons your mind. It keeps haunting your mind. Paul was very aware that for the health of the church, there needs to be discipline of thinking. Bring every thought captive to Christ. And so today we need to hear this message loud and clear from Paul. If we are to be discipled by Christ, if we are to be filled and anointed and in the power of the Holy Spirit, We need to say no to many of the things that the world is offering us and say yes to Jesus and to his Spirit. The local church is the hope of the world. And our longing is that the church will make an impact in this world. See, when we see the smallness of the church and the weakness of the church in the face of government, in the face of big tech, in the face of finance, in the face of social media, we are tempted to give up. We are tempted to despair. And yet Paul says it is in the power of the gospel to demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. If the gospel can emerge out of the muck and mire of the first century, which in many ways was worse than the 21st, and if it can emerge out of that and start to influence even the government and the laws that it put in place, how much more can this church, this small, weak church in the 21st century, make an impact? God delights to work through the weak. He loves to work when the odds seem stacked against him. And that's when he does his greatest work. He did his greatest work in the manger and the cross. The symbols that the world would despise. How could God work through that? That was the mindset of these heretics in Corinth. And yet God does his greatest work, his subversive work. Thanks be to God for his glorious strength and wisdom revealed through the cross and a community of faith that is cross-shaped. You and I living by the values of the Word of God, the cross of Calvary. This is the church's calling. This is what it is to be a real church this year. Jesus still says to us, take up your cross and follow. So shall we pray as we recommit ourselves to Christ's work? Just in a moment or two, I'm just leading us in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to move from pew to pew and person to person. We were singing earlier about how God knows our hearts and our thoughts. He does. He knows the bad habits that we have developed over these months. He knows our failings. He knows our addictions. And he wants to come and to set us free. To set us free from lustful thoughts. To set us free from pride and anger. To set us free from always wanting our own way. To set us free from selfishness. So I invite you, come Holy Spirit, move amongst us here as a congregation, even amongst those watching online. Help us to covenant today, to take every thought captive, to become obedient to Christ and the difference that he will make. And then, Lord, we are determined to see that your church will have an influence in this world and community. And we will be a changed people, a holy people, full of light and truth and glory. Lord, make a difference through our lives. And we pray, even as we continue to reflect on this word today, that you will bring your priorities to bear in each individual life. And we're all different. We all have different issues. But we thank you, God, that you know us each one. And your Holy Spirit can deal with us, each one, and what we need. So come, Holy Spirit, and glorify your name in our lives and through this church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.